that conflict for the lawyer?
Real details.
So, Rabbeinu in Torah, Lamed Zayin, 37, part Vav. We talked about it yesterday on that horrible sorrow that a person have when he stands and pray to Hashem Yitbarach, and if still his prayers haven't been answered. Rabbi David Chaim Stern told me that every person have to wish to come to that level that all of his prayers are accepted. Once we've been in Shmuel Avraham, his Chanukat Bayit, Rav Shalom was there, and I spoke with the Rav on a certain issue before that we came to the Chanukat Bayit, and he told me that he prayed on that for close to half an hour, something like 30 minutes, and that he's sure that Hashem is going to answer his prayer. While we sat in Shmuel's house, so Rav received a phone call that they told him that his prayer been answered, exactly what that we spoke about. So he was smiling and he looked at me and he told me, Baruch Hashem, all of my prayers been answered. So I told him, Rav, mine also. And only because yesterday, where is Obi? Probably because of that he went to sleep late. Yesterday I was with Obi in the studio. We were recording in the studio, and I had a debt of 500 shekels to the person that owned the studio. I said that studio man,
the owner,
I had to pay him 500 shekels, something like 500 shekels. And I had money that I was supposed to make shopping with that money this morning. But when I came to his place, so I, you know, you have money in your hand and you owe it to someone. So it's very interesting that you need to make shopping tomorrow morning, but still that guy, you owe him money. So I took out all of the money that I had, 500 shekels. I gave him. I had extra 50. I told him I leave 50 in my pocket if it's okay. He's laughing, and I gave him the money, and this is it. And then we were recording, and everything was nice, and Obi came. And then after a while, Shalom Aleichem. And then after a while, we were talking about confidence, and I told both of them, I told them, you see, when I came here, I had 500 shekels that I need to use them for tomorrow for shopping, but because that I owe them to Lior, so I gave him the money. So Lior immediately, here is Obi. So Lior immediately took out the money back to pay me back. We're just talking about you, Obi. So Lior immediately wanted to take out the money and to give it to me back. You know, no one wants to stop a person from doing shopping tomorrow morning. So I told him, no, leave it. I gave it to you. And I'm sure, 100%, that I'm going to have my money for tomorrow's shopping. And then Obi said, oh, what that reminds me. I have 700 shekels for you from someone else that owe me money. And Obi just took out a bag full with money and just gave it to me, 700 shekels. I told him, you saw, alive. And I told him, it's not because of me, it's because of confidence. When you have confidence, immediately you've been answered. And it's not because of who you are and what you do and the schut that you have. This is the nature of creation. Hashem said, if you trust me, I'm with you. This is it. So if you trust on Hashem, this is it. You don't need to be worried about nothing at all. This is it. If you don't believe in it, so you need to pray on confidence. You just need to go and to pray. This is what Rabbeinu is saying. When a person is praying and he's not being answered, Rav Shalom said, how are you going to know if you have confidence or not? If when you were counting on Hashem, you found the money in the end, so it means that you had confidence. If you haven't found the money, it means that you weren't sure that you're going to receive the money. So we need to work on ourselves to live like that, that we count on Hashem Yitbarach 100%, no doubts at all. On you, you have doubts on Hashem. You're asking that question, if Hashem is with us or not. You want to invite Amalek into your life. You want to invite Amalek into doubt. Amalek is doubt. If you ask, will Hashem be there for me or not? That question invites Amalek. You don't want Amalek? No doubt. So for that you need to fight. For that you need to throw yourself to the water. For that you need to drag yourself to the desert in the middle of the night to work on against your fears and anxieties. And do it. It's worth it. It pays. It pays. It's worth it. It's worth it. Why? Because no one can buy a house in a time that's going to be less than a few years of working hard. And, but with 6 hours of itbodedut once and another time and another time, you buy a house. And in the end, even if you're going to divide the hours that you were working for that house in the field, it's going to be like you gain something like 500,000 shekels for an hour or 50,000 shekels for an hour if you were doing long itbodedut. Really, who gains 50,000 shekels for an hour? Who? No one. No one that we know. So in the end, if you take something and who can pay you on Kedusha, on holiness, if you're really going to come to that day that you're going to be able to close your eyes and to have control on your eyes, that nothing going to distract your thoughts from Hashem, that it's going to be in your hands, you're going to have that, you know how much you would be ready to pay for that, you know how much it's worth. Yosef HaTzadik, been called Yosef HaTzadik because of that. Shmuel Shapira, we're praising him and telling stories on him. That the Rabbi Migur said on him that 1/3 of the world was exist only because of his merit, of Shmuel Shapira. Because he was guarding his eyes like that he didn't know even how his daughters looked like. He lived here in those streets, that we were walking in those streets. He was walking like that. One time the Jordanian soldiers brought him back from the desert in Midbar Yehuda. They said, it belongs to you, right? You cannot even take him as a prisoner. What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with him? But they took him once as a prisoner. When they conquered the old city, they took him as a prisoner. And they were giving them crackers and biscuits, biscuiting. And there were a lot of worms in those biscuits. And also they gave him very small amounts of water. So he was replacing the biscuits for water, that you're going to have water for Netilat Yadayim. And it was a known thing, that no problem to switch, to give him to. He needed water to purify his hands, to have complete faith that his hands are going to be pure, to Avodat Hashem. People that are separated from all imaginations of this world, you can purchase that with prayers. And in no other way you can buy it. No other way. And even if you're going to come to classes that are talking on that, thousands of hours you're going to have watching classes on that, it's not going to fix your eyes. In the minute that you're going to go to the street, you're going to be distracted. And also, if you're going to have hours of prayers, just requests, you also will not going to have it. You're not going to achieve it. Only if you're going to have very deep prayers of tshuva and thanks and praises and prayers, then you're going to have it. Only if you, first of all, going to confess on all of your lackings, on all of your weaknesses, why am I damaging my eyes? And you're going to try to observe, to look, to check yourself, to make an investigation. Who am I? What's going on with me? And doing tshuva, deep, deep tshuva, that you first of all realize your defaults, your defects, your problems, your issues, where it started, and what caused it. And you do tshuva, and then you pray to fix it. And then you thank Hashem Yitbarach on two things. First of all, on every success that you have, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, today I had a clean day. Today I had a clean hour. Thank you, today Baruch Hashem. I don't feel that I've been damaged. Nothing bad, horrible happened to me today. Thank you, Hashem Yitbarach. You thank on the good things. And second, that you thank Hashem Yitbarach on the process. On the fact that you haven't achieved it yet. This is a deeper thanks. That you're thanking, you appreciate the fact that you haven't achieved it yet. Because when Yaakov Avinu, like I told you, if you remember, Yaakov Avinu, when he was in the stomach of his mother Rivka, he desired to go out, womb of his wife. He desired to go out, and the question is why? There is an angel that is teaching you Torah inside of the womb. There is no reason to go out. Esav couldn't worship idols inside of Rivka's womb. There was no cross over there to bow to. So what are you going to do? She wasn't holding one on her. So why Yaakov had to wish to go out to synagogues, to Beis Midrash? Why? Not for the Torah. The Torah he had. An angel was teaching him Torah. Only because he wanted the effort of Avodat Hashem in Amal HaTorah. The yoke of heaven. He wanted to work. He desired that suffering, that effort. This is what that he wanted. Torah, alright, he had it. It's not, it wasn't the thing that he was wishing for. He wanted the burden. He wanted the effort. He wanted the sweat. That was his desire. Adam le'amal yulad. You've been sent to this world to work. So now, you're in that process of work, of effort. That process is what the Rabbeinu is calling it in Likutei Moharan, the faith is the koach ha-godel ve-koach ha-tzomeach. Torah kuf nun hei, 155. Yes, that this is the power of growth. This is the faith. So while you're in that process of faith, of being in darkness and praying and strengthening yourself, this is the time that you grow. When you're going to be answered, it's finished. That process of growth been finished. It's been stopped. This is it. You got it. Now you're happy. Chas v'shalom. Now you don't need Hashem anymore. You have it. You have Him. This is it. It's not fixed at all. The most perfect situation of them all is that you need Hashem Yitbarach and you still don't have Him, and you wish to have Him, and you pray on it every day. And that dedication that the person is praying on one subject every day, this is the only solution that I ever heard about. Rabbeinu is bringing it in Torah 52, Nun Bet. That a person have to wake up in the middle of the night, and you're not able to do that. So wake up in the middle of the day, no problem. For you it's night. For you it's the night, right? If you have to wake up in the middle of the day, it means you're awake at night. So in the middle of your night, no problem. And go to the field, go to a place that you're going to be all alone over there. And so you're afraid. You're afraid to go to the forest. There are wolves over there in Canada. Okay, you can understand it. Here you have worse than wolves. You have Ishmaelim in the forest. It's even worse. So you're afraid to go to the forest. You're afraid to go to the field. No problem. So your field is, it can be in your house. It can be in your porch, in a quiet place that people are not walking in that place. And in that place, you need to talk to Hashem, Yitbarach, and to talk, and to talk, and to talk, and not to wish for results at all. Because you're already in the result. Because the main salvation is that you're standing in front of Hashem. What can be better than that? What do you want? L'mavet tzaot, you want the results. Results are coming after death. You want to go. You don't want to stay. The fact that you haven't completed your tikkun, this is what that keeps you here. It's written in the Sipurei Ma'asiyot, from the Maaseh Miben Melech Shasui Me'avanim Tovot, on that prince that made out of good stones, that there were two righteous people over there in that tale that Rabbeinu brought. One of them made a salvation for the king and gave him a daughter, and the second one came and gave him a boy. Two righteous people. The first one, after that he gave that daughter to the king, he died. That righteous man died. But the second one, even after that he brought that salvation to the king of the boy, he haven't died. You can see that until the end of the tale, he stayed there. They asked Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender, Zkan Breslev of the old generation, why the first righteous man died immediately after the salvation. You see that he completed his job in this world, and this is it, he died. He made that miracle. He saved Am Israel. He brought that king his salvation that he wanted. And he died. He finished. He completed his job. Why when the second tzaddik gave the same salvation, he brought a baby boy to that king, Why he haven't died? Why? So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender said, you can see, the second righteous man, he promised to the king that the boy gonna be made out of good stones. And when the boy born came out to the world, no one could see that he was really made out of good stones. And the righteous man was keep on praying on it. It's written in the Sipurei Maasiyot that he kept on praying on it for years. How can it be that if I promise to them, from that we can learn another huge lesson on confidence, confidence in yourself. How can it be, he asked Hashem, that if I promise to them that they're going to have a salvation and I done it only for your honor, not for myself at all, only for you, that they're going to have a boy that made out of good stones, why it haven't happened? I haven't asked it for myself. I asked it for you. So if I ask it for your honor, so first thing before the confidence, now we're going to deal with the cream before we're going to deal with the sherries. Now, first of all, the fact that he kept on praying on it, it kept him alive. This was the answer of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender. Because he haven't seen the salvation yet. But, and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender said, Mistama, probably, in the moment that the salvation finished and they revealed that he was made out of good stones, he passed away. He died. This is what Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender said. When you completed your job, this is it. The Gemara is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu got five names. Why? Because he completed his job and Borei Olam wanted to length his life. So he changed his name five times until he completed 120 years. This is why when a person is sick, they're adding a name to, because he finished his job. Hey, we see that he's starting to sliver, to go down from our hands. Where? He's going somewhere. Hey, we need to change his name because that person finished his tikkun. So if we're changing his name, so we can lengthen his life, if it's going to be accepted, if Hashem is going to accept to lengthen his life, to give him a longer life. We can hear that in a lot of stories of people that had clinical death, that the Creator is standing in front of them and telling them, this is it, I'm sorry, you're dead. Or Beit Din over there, the court, this is it. Only if they're accepting on themselves. One of the friends in the yeshiva, Yair, told his story, he had a clinical death. And he said that they told him, this is it. Sorry. You had your chance and you haven't completed it. So he said, I'm begging. And if you want, he asked, I want to have a share in the Geula of Am Israel, in the redemption of Am Israel. This is what he asked. He was a total chiloni, secular. But he had those words to say. He said, I want to have a share in Geulat Israel. This is what he asked. So they stopped. And then he said, and if it's hard for you, he said, I don't know where he got that courage to talk in front of Beit Din of Heaven. This is Yair probably. This is him probably. So he told them, and if it's hard for you to send me, so give me a huge Yetzer Hara that I'm going to have to struggle with him, that I'm going to have to fight with that Yetzer Hara, but send me. And then they sent him. He woke up. So you see that when a person accepts something on himself, they're asking him, you're going to keep Shabbos? Yes. You're going to have impurity of the family? Yes. You're going to tell that story to everyone? Yeah. If you accept on yourself a new job, they can lengthen your life based on something. But if you're useless, if you don't do that, nothing, so why to? Why? For what? You're just damaging yourself by being useless. So it's the same thing. If now you pray on something, we're going to come back to that confidence. Don't worry. If a person finds himself enduring a certain process, in the middle of the process, this is your life. This is life. This is life. The Baal HaSulam said, how are you going to define eternal life if you're willing to live like that you are just now, forever? If you're willing to live like that, now, in that situation, exactly, like now, forever, this is, you live an eternal life in every situation. Even in suffering, even in poverty, even in darkness, even in sadness. Rav Shalom said, even though that Rabbeinu is saying that sadness is the worst sin of them all, Rav Shalom said, if you know that your sadness is also from Hashem, that sadness will not going to damage you at all. Because you know, Hashem made me sad now. Hashem made me so broken and I'm so confused that I'm not even able to take myself out to observe on my situation from outside. I cannot cut it to pieces, to understand it, to get wiser from it, and to come to the right conclusions. I'm not able to. I just want to go to sleep. But it's all from Hashem Yitbarach. If you do that, like Chizkiyahu said to Hashem, I don't have the powers. I'm going to sleep, Hashem. told him, sorry, I want to fight, I want to praise you, I want to pray, whatever. I don't have the power for that. I'm going to sleep. Help me. If you go to sleep like that, that sadness will not going to damage you at all, at all, at all. On that confidence. Look on that amazing, amazing point in Avodat Hashem. Look what you can have. That if you really aim yourself to Hashem Yitbarach, you're going to be answered. This is it. All of the effort is just to constrict yourself to the path, to the right way. To try to commit yourself. The main thing that we all, and unfortunately not all of the students are here. The ones that you can call them students, the ones that you cannot call them students, need to talk about it a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. It all depends in Emunat Chachamim. Vasita kechol asher yorucha. You need to do whatever they command you to do. If you start questioning on your rabbi, he's not your rabbi anymore. He's not your rabbi. You cannot receive nothing from him anymore. This is it. It's just, if you're going to try to make him your rabbi after it, it's just going to damage you. It's better for you, if you feel that you have questions on your rabbi, it's better for you to pack your backpack and to walk for 2 weeks, for a week, disappear. Go, heal yourself. Go, talk to Hashem on it. If you see yourself that you're struggling, that you're fighting, that you have questions, that you have doubts, what's going on and why and this, take vacation. With no payment, and no payment, we're not paying for that vacation, but go. Go for your own sake. Go. Find your path back to Hashem. Find your path back to your rabbi. I had crazy situations with Rav Shalom. Crazy situations. Things that look so awkward, things that look so weird. Only the fact that I convinced myself that I cannot have doubts on him, because I already saw that he is beyond all of those nonsense. So it cannot be that I'm going to suspect him now, even though that now it looks like it, even though that now I have my doubts. Those are my doubts. I need to work on myself. Even though that you see him, afilu omer lecha al yamin shu small, even if he tells you on right that it's left and on left that it's right, where you learned that it's right and ideally before, where you learned from that right is right and left is left? From him. And now he's changing his mind. He's telling you on the right that he taught you that is right, that it's left. And on the left that he taught you that is left, he tells you that it's right. One day told you, go to the field. Today tells you, you're not allowed to do it. Oh, well, can it be? One day tells you, you need to work for me. The second day tells you, look, I never asked you to be here. What? How can it be? He told you to move to Jerusalem. And then he said, I feel like you need to live farther. Maybe go back to the United States, live there. What? You need to look for the truth. How can it be that Arav changed his mind? It cannot be a defect in Arav. It cannot be. And if you're going to be serious on it, to work on yourself always, to educate yourself according to the line that Harav is teaching you, you're going to be answered big time. Big time. You cannot imagine your success. You will never going to be able to thank Hashem Yitbarach on that, even in forever. You don't know what am I talking about yet. But I wish that all of you are going to. Because when you throw your wisdom, you receive gifts like those. Once I came to Rav Shalom and I asked him if I can do children books. One of the books was from the Sipurei Maasiyot. I asked him if I can make children books on those tales. He told me, yes, no problem. I told him, Rav, I know Rav already that he is Baruch Hashem, hidden tzaddik. You don't know. I had to clarify. I told him, Rav, are you sure? I can do all of the Sipurei Maasiyot, on all of them I can make children books, on all of them, all of the stories. He said, yes, what? So they're good stories, nice stories, Ravenu wrote them. I told him, Rav, alright, I'm just asking, if it's for sure, I'm going to make one. And if not, so I'm taking a few steps back. He said, no, no problem, do, I want you to succeed. Wonderful! I read the Sipurei Maasiyot, thought to myself which to make, which not. I chose one. Maaseh mibat Melech veben Kesar, story from the daughter of the Caesar and the son of the, I'm sorry, but Melech.
This is
the name? Son of the king and the daughter of the Caesar. This is the right name, exactly. And it's an amazing story, beautiful story, but it's a love story. Very clean, very modest, but it's still, it's a love story. But I felt that I can do it very clean. I know myself, and I chose that. And I asked her out before, and I don't need to make an oath. Hashem is with us. I was working close to 3 months on that book. And when I mean that I was working on that book, it means at night, because when the children are around, when my wife is awake, I cannot. I don't have an office that I can run to. Don't have that privilege. Only in my house, only in my living room, only when everyone is asleep. So for something like 3 months, I was working hard, and I wasn't almost sleeping, and I'm talking big hours, big time. I was sacrificing, and it was such a thick book, maybe 80 drawings or something like that, close to 100 drawings. Big project. And I was working day and night, mamash, a lot, and I was dead tired, and I was still, and I was falling asleep while working and waking up, because I know I don't have another time, and my parnasah was depending on it, and I was very desired to do that. I completed after 3 months to make that book. I made copies, one first copy to bring to Arav to see it. He looked at it and he told me, "Why you chose that story?" So I told him, "Arav," I was all shaking already. I told him, "Arav, I asked you if I can make stories on the Sipurei Maasiyot," and he told me that yes. Told him, "But you haven't asked me specifically on that one." Told him, "Arav, but I asked you on everyone if I can make books on everyone," and he told me yes. He said, "Look, it's not a story for children. I don't know what to tell you." Told him, "Arav, I was working on that book for 3 months. It was very hard. What do you want me to do?" He said, "All right, look, if you want, maybe we can make a few changes. Maybe we're going to remove a few parts from the tale. It's going to be okay." Told him, "Arav, I cannot do it. If you say that it's not right, so I don't want to do it. Just give me powers to drop it." So he told me, "It's going to be the best thing if you're going to drop it." So I did. After it, after a few weeks, a friend of mine from the yeshiva, that is also making books for children, he came to me, he told me, "No, what's going on with that book?" I told him, "I'm not publishing it in the end." He told me, "What? But you're working so hard." I told him, "Yes, but I asked Arav, and Arav told me not to do it." He told me, "What?" I told him, "Yes." He said, "But you're working on it for months." I told him, "Yes, I know. He said, "So what Arav told you?" And I explained to him all of the details. He said, "This is the reason why I'm bringing the books in the end to Arav and tell him, 'Arav, write your agreement, your recommendation on it.' I'm not asking Arav." He's not asking Arav. He's just coming for a blessing from Arav. For him, it's healthy. For me, it's not an option. This is why I gain more. He gained more books. He sold thousands of books, a lot more than I do. But you can never receive the light that you can receive by canceling yourself to Arav. Because he's not just not doing it. He's doing it in his own way, in a beautiful way, wonderful way. But according to his vessels. I don't care about vessels. I break my own vessels if I need to. I don't want to fill my vessels. I want to break my vessels. I want Arav's vessels. I want to cancel myself to Arav. I want to do whatever Arav commands me to do. And even if you're going to tell me on right that it's left, and on left that it's right, who cares? Arav knows the truth. I know the truth. I know myself. I know I don't know nothing. You need to take yourself and to throw yourself on Hashem. This is the way of Am Yisrael serving Hashem Yitbarach. It's hard, no one is saying, but if really you want to be special, if really you want to have something in your hand, so you need to sacrifice something. You're not sacrificing nothing. You just came to gain some more and to achieve some more and to find some more. And you, Rav Shalom said, you can be Baal Tava, that you have desire for the Torah. It's the biggest desire of them all. And you still, after 120 years, you're going to realize you were Baal Tava. Full with lust and desires. Lust to the Torah, desire to the Torah. You're not a clean person. If they would cut you off from the Torah, you would collapse. You wouldn't hold on. You wouldn't keep on serving Hashem Yitbarach without Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Zev Leibovich said to Rav Shalom, you have faith like in the generation of the Holocaust. So I asked, Rav Shalom told me that. So I asked him what it means, Rav. He said that even if I was in the Holocaust, I wouldn't fall for my faith. This is what that I want. This is what that I desire to have. This is what that I want. I want to be so strong that nothing in the world is going to shake my faith. This is my goal in life. Not money, not family, no honor. Of course not honor. And nonsense like that. Money. People getting crazy because of money. Millions of shekels it's better to throw to the fire. It's written in the Gemara Kedosha. Noach lo la'adam. It's more comfortable for the person to throw himself to the flaming fire and not to insult another person in his life. If you're a human being, it's more comfortable for you to throw yourself to the fire and not to insult a person. Not to insult a goy. Not to insult no one. Not to hurt no one's feeling. You talk about your body. Rachel sacrificed everything for her sister Leah. More than money, her future. To be the wife of Esav. You need to be able to marry Esav, the most wicked person in the world, not to insult your sister. Leah? In the end, this is what that Rachel done. She sacrificed herself for her sister Leah. And Tamar? Tamar was ready to be thrown to the fire and to be executed. For who? For Yehuda. And who's that Yehuda? Who that Yehuda can be? Yehuda can be a person if Yehuda will not going to admit that he made something wrong. If he will not going to admit. So we're talking on a person that is ready to throw his wife and his child to the fire. His child, that she's pregnant from his from him. And she carry his baby inside of her. And if he will not going to admit, she, with that baby, going to be thrown to the fire. And she is ready to sacrifice herself for a person like that. In the end, he admit. And he went back to become to be Yehuda, the head of the holy tribes. And everything was wonderful because he made Shiva. He admit. He said she was righteous. She was right. He admit. He didn't fall to that failure that he was able to. But she didn't care. She was ready to go to the fire even for a corrupted person like that he could have, might have been. She couldn't care less. She is doing her job. I'm not hurting no one. I'm not insulting no one. Even if I'm going to pay in my life, even I'm going to pay in my house, even if I'm going to pay in my family and the things that are most precious to me in my eyes, I will not going to hurt no one. I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying this is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to be. I'm not holding that level. You can try to dare touch something that belongs to me. I'm not going to be nice at all, but I'm working on myself. True. And I will tell you a secret. I heard the same lecture from Rav Shalom maybe 12 years ago. That in that lecture he said, you think I'm righteous? You think I'm guarding my eyes because I'm righteous? I'm guarding my eyes because I have lust for women. This is why I'm guarding my eyes. You think that I'm taking the money, you're giving me money because that I'm righteous, you want me to do your pidyon. I'm taking your money because I have desire for money. I have tavat mamon. And it was breaking his own bones in that shi'ur totally. And then he said, you think I'm humble? Try, dare to touch something that belongs to me. Try to touch something that belongs to me. No one tried. It's all matter, all of Avodat Hashem. It's matter of sacrificing yourself and canceling yourself to a live righteous man. Because to Hashem Yitbarach, it's very easy to say, I'm a chassid of Hashem. And you couldn't care less about Hashem. and you say, I'm a Breslever, I'm Hasid Breslev. You don't know Breslev, you don't know nothing. Rabbeinu said that until a person is got 100% tikkun abrit, he's 100% clean and holy in all that connected to holiness, to kedusha matters, he cannot understand the word in Likutei Moharan. Cannot understand. So, what are we talking? Which Hasid Breslev you are? If you don't understand the book of your Rebbe, you're a Hasid of this Rebbe, you're not Hasid, someone that is mitchased, that you're doing extra, that you do more. So you cannot call yourself a Hasid Breslev. Like I told you, that student of our yeshiva, that he found a shidduch, a beautiful, amazing, great shidduch, but they had one problem, that the father of the wife, he said that he is not accepting him as if he's a Breslever. So that guy came to Rav Shalom and told him, Rav, what do you want from me? I'm a good boy, everything is good, I'm Bar Tshuva, I'm Breslever, so what is it? So Rav Shalom told him, you should go this Shabbos to the father's shul, and when you go and buy Aliyah LaTorah and hug the Sefer Torah and make an oath, make Shvu'ah, I am not a Hasid Breslev, hugging the Sefer Torah. He looked at Rav like that. He told him, Rav, how can I do something like that? Rav Shalom told him, I can promise you, you're not a Hasid Breslev. Don't worry. You're not even close. You're not a Hasid Breslev. So to be a Hasid Breslev, it's easy because you're not, and you just claim that you are. To cancel yourself to a righteous man that already passed away, it's easy. You can claim whatever you want, and he's not here to answer and to rebuke you and to break your bones. So you can claim that you're Mashiach if you want, whatever, you no problems. But to cancel yourself to a rabbi that's alive, that tell you you're a liar, that tell you you're weak, that rebukes you, that tell you you have desire for money, that rebukes you, to cancel yourself to him, to admit that he's better than me, to know he is better than me, I have to admit, this is hard. And in that, all of the Torah depends. Where you learned it from? That Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem Yitbarach said to Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Tam Israel are saying, it's written, Vayaminu ha'am b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo, that Am Israel are saying that they believed in Hashem Yitbarach and in Moshe, his slave, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I wish they're going to have that heart to be afraid of me for all of their lives. That all of their days they're going to be afraid of me like that. That their faith is going to be like that, to love me, to be afraid of me forever like that. What? When they admitted that they believe in Moshe. You cannot believe in Hashem if you don't believe in Moshe. To believe means to throw your wisdoms. Means to count on Him. Whatever He's going to tell you to do, to do. Thank you. Chazaku Baruch. Yeah.